Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. A young black man enters a convenience store and something happens. A white woman falls over and there's a split second of confusion. Suddenly, a police officer pins the black teen to the ground, cuffs him, and beats him. Why? Is the teen resisting arrest? Is this police violence? Whatever it is, it's all caught on film and all of America sees it. Well, this story sounds so familiar because it has happened far too many times already, and the outcome of these stories is never entirely clear. Just take the hung jury yesterday in the trial of a Baltimore police officer, William Porter. But the story I told you earlier, well, that plot line actually comes from a powerful new book called All American Boys by Jason Reynolds and Melrose native Brendan Kiley. Chapter by chapter, they write the story from the perspectives of one black teen and one white teen. And Jason Reynolds and Brendan Kiley join us now from Washington today. Welcome to Radio Boston to the both of you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
So first of all, can I just briefly get your reaction to the fact that, it's almost, we could have this conversation any day and there's something right in the news along the lines of what you were writing about. But, you know, we did have this case of the hung jury yesterday in the trial of Baltimore police officer William Porter, who's black, but he's one of the police officers on trial for manslaughter in the case of Freddie Gray. And I was just wondering, what was your reaction to that, given that you've been spending so much time thinking about the complexities of this issue?
I think right now, and this is Jason speaking, I think my reaction is what my reaction has been. I think I live in a state of perpetual exhaustion, a perpetual frustration. When I found out, I texted Brendan right away, and we had sort of our at this point, our usual angry sort of text fest of us being upset and frustrated and full of angst. Hmm. I think it's you never quite get used to it, even though you do sort of get used to it. There's a strange callus that sort of overtakes you, but it never is thick enough to stop the pain from piercing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's sort of where I am right now.
Brendan?
I think that one thing that Jason's getting at that really makes me think quite a bit is that each of these cases, you know, we see these cases over and over again, and we when we hear about them in the news or we see them in the news, we talk about it as a systemic problem. But each and every case is a personal, really heartfelt problem for people who are much closer to it. And I hope that, in fact, the project of working on a novel is to get all of us who are maybe 2, 3, 4 steps away to get much closer to the actual problems that are happening. Mm-hmm. In these moments. And, there's a lot of legalese that we'd have to sift through to talk about the particular case in Baltimore. But what's most important is that there are a number of people who feel continually at risk at the hands of law enforcement officers. And I'd like us all to think more empathetically about that and maybe a little less intellectually.
Yeah. Well, let me just ask you about the book specifically, because it is technically it's a YA novel, but it's an absolutely gripping read, I'd say, regardless of age. And you tell the story of Rashad and Quinn. Chapter by chapter, we hear the voices of both of these young men. Why did you decide to write it in that way?
I mean, I think, you know, Brendan and here's the thing. I'll tell you how it started. So Brendan and I were on tour together a couple years back for other books that we had written, and Simon and Schuster put us on tour together to promote these books. And this happened on the heels of the George Zimmerman verdict. And so here I am, Jason Reynolds, a young black man, on tour full of frustration and anger, and I'm on tour with a stranger who was outside of my cultural community. And so there was originally a bit of reticence when it came to me bringing the conversation up, because you don't ever know people's political stances or how they feel about these sorts of things. Organically, the conversation comes up. Brendan feels as upset as I do. And we start down the rabbit hole that is getting to know each other very, very intimately based on where we stood in it, with this issue. And so over the course of the, of you know, all the, through that year, and the cases continued to roll out, we continued to talk about it. And that's when sort of, when Michael Brown was killed, that's when Brendan came up with the idea of maybe we should write a book together. And the purpose of it was to say, listen, we could tell this book individually, and we could both give individual perspectives on how we feel about it and tell these stories individually, or we could, you know, to quote Gandhi, you know, cornily, we could be the change we'd like to see. We could use the book as a physical manifestation, a physical example of what we like to see people doing, people outside of each other's communities having conversation, figuring out where the touchstones are, where they connect.
Right. I was just going to say that, like, that was one of the things that really sort of resonated to me quite loudly in the book, that, like, ideally, these are the conversations that we should be having in the community, but don't often, in whatever way, have them enough. Brendan, was that as Jason was saying, was that part of the motivation here?
Absolutely. I mean, before becoming a full-time writer, I worked in a high school in New York for 10 years, and I worked with young people every day. And I'm both inspired by those young people and want to do my part to continue to inspire them. So as Jason's saying, right, with this book, we want it to be a conversation starter, and we want it to be a conversation starter for young people, but also for the adults in their lives. So parents, teachers, librarians, the people who might care about what life will be like for young people tomorrow. And I think that often it's hard, like we were saying before, it's hard to sometimes speak specifically about a news story because we don't know all the facts. And when we have a novel in front of us, what we have is a contained world that mm-hmm. we've created for the reader. And so we've given you the information that you need, and now people can begin to have a conversation about Rashad and Quinn as opposed to having to have the conversation about Mike Brown, right, which we also need to have. But at least maybe this is a way into a broader conversation.
So the thing about the book that that I really appreciated is that, you know, one could succumb to the urge to really oversimplify and just make things as easy to digest as possible. But you guys don't do that at all. I mean, because there are some very complicated and nuanced subplots in the book, for example. I mean, I'm thinking about Rashad's father, right, who, you know, who's a black man who was in the army and was a police officer as well, and also had, you know, at least one, if not more, really difficult moments as a police officer himself.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think, you know, if Brendan and I were very conscious about making sure that we were telling a nuanced and complex story, one that really, really sort of pulled the camera back a bit and showed more of a macro level. I think what we get with media oftentimes is we get sort of snapshots, we get 20-second sound bites, we get internet video clips, we get hashtags, we get, you know, he said, she said, and hearsay, and all these different things that we use to form opinions without ever delving into it. If it were as simple as black and white, it'd be a much easier thing to solve, if it were that simple. But the reality is that it's a lot more complex and it's a lot more nuanced. People bring people to the table. People bring all of their drama, all of their fear, all of their prejudices to the table every time that they sit down to do anything. And so it's important for us to write whole characters who are wholly human, who come to the table with all of their nonsense and all of their stuff, all of the stuff, and how that stuff affects everything happening and everyone around them.
Did you guys bring... I'm sorry to just jump in here, Brendan, for a second, but given what Jason just said, did you guys bring, I think you might have hinted this earlier, but did you guys bring and confront your own stuff that you brought to the table about this with each other?
For sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think I often say that as a white man, I'm very conscious and grateful that Jason allowed a space to grow in our friendship for more and more trust to enter into our friendship. And I don't say that very lightly. I take that very seriously because we are talking about we're talking about one of the most serious subjects in American history and in our present. And racial bias, unconscious bias, as it affects everyday life for so many people in small moments and in large ones, is a tough thing for us to be really honest and vulnerable about. However, because we were on the road, as Jason said, on tour together, unfortunately, you know, these kinds of moments came up in our own everyday interactions with other people all the time. And so we were forced to maybe be pretty open and honest with each other. And so we did have to grapple with, you know, moments where my privilege just walked into the room ahead of me. And we had to, you know, have conversations about that. And that's the kind of thing that I wanted to allow Quinn to be able to process as a character in the book as well. Because one of the things I think is important about creating real full humans in a story is that we, you know, people don't usually wake up in the morning and intend to be evil. Mm-hmm. In fact, many people, not unlike the police officer in the book, wakes up in the morning and thinks he's a hero.
Yeah.
And I think what we need to do and what Jason and I were maybe able to do because we took the time to build our friendship and that vulnerable space between us is be real honest about the difference between the intention you wake up with in the morning and the actual impact you deliver on real people's lives right. by the end of the day.
Well, we just have literally about 30 seconds to go here. Mm-hmm. We didn't talk much about the plot of the book, but that's because I want people to read it. But Jason, I'm just going to give you one last thought here about the book and kind of where we find ourselves as Americans today. But yeah. Just got a couple seconds.
For sure. I mean, all I really want to say about the book is that we want to use this book as a doorway into the conversation. We want the book to create a safe space for people to have the uncomfortable conversation in hopes to perpetuate growth in our country.
Well, the book is All American Boys, and it's co-written by Jason Reynolds and Brendan Kiley. It is a fantastic read, a unique book, which I think may change a lot of people's minds about some pretty important things. Jason Reynolds and Brendan Kiley, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And there's more information about All American Boys at our website, radioboston.org. Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.